You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Farmers in the North Valley will have a new crop this year. It's not an exotic fruit or nut variety. Instead, it's carbon. Here to tell us more is journalist Nathaniel Johnson from the publication Grist. He joins us now on Valley Edition. Nathaniel, welcome.
Great to be here, Joe.
You write that California has switched on a fleet of high-tech greenhouse gas-removing machines. They're called plants. How does this farming operation differ from what we might normally see in a place like Gustine?
Not too much. What farmers are doing is just adding a very specific amount of compost, either composted manure or green compost, to their fields and planting some kind of a cover crop. So just perhaps some barley or clover under the trees or between the rows of the crop. Those plants, those cover crops, fertilized by that extra manure, are going to pull a bunch of carbon out of the air to grow in the photosynthetic process. And in the process, they're going to transfer some of that carbon down into their roots, and some of that is going to get locked away into the soil.
Is that the key part of this initiative, the soil? Tell me more about that and trying to capture carbon in the earth itself.
Yeah, that's the key, because the plants themselves, they're going to get cut down or killed one way or another, whether it's just from heat or spray of herbicide at the end of the season. And eventually they're going to decompose, and that carbon is going to go mostly back up into the air. But the carbon that gets down into the roots, some of that's going to stay down there. So you have the bacteria, you have the little worms and insects down in the soil that are going to eat some of that. Some of it's going to become mineralized. Some of it's going to form into little bits in the soil that will stay there long term. And we don't know exactly, you know, all of this stuff cycles, right? But there's enough science on this now to show that by just doing some of these very simple practices, adding some fertility to the soil and adding a cover crop, you can get some of that carbon locked away for a medium to long term period of time. And so this is really the first experiment at scale to see how well it works, you know, in all these different soil profiles and all of these different climates and different crops, and farmers are trying it up and down California.
So is there a thought that this could be a potentially a larger scale solution for California? This is being funded, after all, by the cap and trade program in California. Tell me a little more about how they hope to take this from where it is now to the future.
So it's going to take them about 3 years to really get a sense as to how well it's working in these different places. And, it, you know, this is a political issue. The money is coming from the cap and trade program, and that's voted on by our representatives here in California. And so there was a bunch of funding the first year. It's gotten reduced for the second year, and you know it may still come through at the same level. But the long term idea, if there's enough funding for enough farmers to do this for at least 3 years, is that we'll see how well it works in different places and then be able to kind of zero in on the protocols that we give to farmers who want to sequester some carbon. And if it turns out to work pretty well, it's really pretty exciting, because here's this way that we could actually start drawing large amounts of greenhouse gases out of the air, putting it into the soil where it can really help the farms, and have it be a real win-win for farmers, for climate, and for people who like to eat food.
So you write about almond farmer Doug Lowe, who grows almonds near Gustine, up north of us here in the San Joaquin Valley. What is his reaction to this? He's one of about 50 farmers participating in this program this year. What does he have to say about being part of this grand experiment?
Well, he is someone who was interested in trying to do a little bit more with his almond groves. he was interested in trying some composting to add not just the basic nutrients that people generally apply, but you get some of these trace nutrients and a little more organic matter on your field as well. And when this program came along, it provided him some financial incentive to do it. And it's a little bit of a safety net. If it goes wrong, he's not going to lose anything. And so I think he and many other farmers who I've talked to about this, they're not necessarily hardcore environmentalists who are trying to single-handedly save the world, but they see this as a real opportunity to do something that can benefit them, perhaps financially. And the state's paying for them to run this trial, so they figure they might as well do it. There are certainly some farmers who are motivated purely by environmentalism, and for them the grants are just the cherry on top.
So when will we know the results? How long does it take before the final verdict comes in on this program?
Well, like all things in science, it's going to be sort of a slow unfolding, two steps forward, one step back, one step to the side. I don't know exactly what dance I'm doing here, but we're going to get data that suggests probably in the next year or so, we're going to start to see if there's any carbon being deposited into the soil. We should start to see some increase in the first 3 years. And then the question really is, how big is that increase? How long is it staying there? If you plow the field, does it all just go back up into the air? What kind of crops keep them their best? And so as this goes on, we're going to be getting information that thinks, it's going to be like the nutrition information we get about what we should be eating. We'll probably hear one thing is the best way of doing it and then find some finding that suggests it's just the opposite and go back and reexamine the first studies. So it's going to be a long process, but we're going to start zeroing in on what really works best.
Now, given the carbon that it takes to actually do irrigated agriculture in California, are these farms, do they have the potential to be more than carbon neutral to actually, are we taking into the account the carbon that's expended in actually growing the main crop, in this case, the almonds that Mr. Yeah. Lowe farms? Tell me more about that.
Well, pretty much anything we do in the modern world puts carbon into the atmosphere, whether we're driving in a car to work or filling up a tractor with diesel, we're expending some of that carbon budget. But with agriculture, we've gotten pretty darn efficient. So the amount of carbon that's released from growing a crop, it's not too bad. The really big, you hear sometimes that agriculture is one of the biggest contributors to greenhouse gases, but that's really from land use change. That's from farms expanding into rainforests, cutting down the trees and burning them. That's also from animal agriculture, just cattle belching and farting. But when you look at plant agriculture, the amount of emissions that you get just from creating the fertilizers, creating the pesticides, running the tractors are pretty minimal compared to the potential you have to sequester some carbon in the soil. So if we can, so far, we've been mining the soil of carbon, mostly just growing things pretty intensively. And, we all eat the carbon in the plants. And so we've been taking more carbon out than we've been replacing. And if we can figure out a way to turn that around, there is a real potential for these to be carbon negative and actually pretty dramatically carbon negative.
We'll be eagerly following this story as it plays out and as the results come in. Again, joining us today, journalist Nathaniel Johnson with Grist. His one of his most recent articles talks about an experiment underway at farms across California, including one near Gustine in the North Valley, where farmers are being paid to essentially farm carbon and store carbon in their soil with the new cover crops in between rows of almond trees. We'll be watching that. And you can find a link to that article on our website, kvpr.org. Nathaniel Johnson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.